As Boston tries to become a more bicycle-friendly city, some cyclists are complaining about a disparity in how the city treats cycling in lower-income areas compared to wealthier parts of the city. WBUR's Simone Rios this morning reports on one man's crusade to bring more bicycles to the southern half of Boston.
Bowdoin Bike School is a small cinder-block building on a street of triple-deckers. Inside are dozens of used bikes, from kids' bikes to road bikes and folding bikes and mountain bikes. Pedal-powered vehicles are the heart of the bike school in Codman Square, but the soul is community organizing.
This is Bowdoin Bike School. We believe that if people in Dorchester and in similar communities ride their bikes more, they'll be happier, healthier, and richer.
Noah Hicks sees bikes as a way people can save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in transportation costs. He opened the school in August as a way not only to get more people on bikes, but to learn how to repair them as well. Hicks and his team fix used bikes, then sell them to cover costs.
Like, when I try to tighten it up, there's only one that moves, and this one, like, super loose.
Hicks also teaches repairs, and people can earn store credit for volunteering. Kids in the neighborhood are among the most enthusiastic aspiring mechanics. But Bowdoin Bike School is not just for the young.
I'm 52, so it gives me extracurricular activity. I get to come out and participate in the community more, kind of grassrootsy.
William Young has been learning mechanics since Bowdoin Bike School was operating out of Noah Hicks's basement in 2013. For Young, a bike is more than just a vehicle.
I mean, you're getting exercise. You're not stepping your foot on an accelerator, putting pollutants into the air, killing the earth further. 9 out of 10, yeah, you're beating traffic too.
The rewards of cycling are many, Young says, but so are the dangers.
I kind of feel like daredevil in the streets because we have this relationship with motorists. They really don't like respecting us. We have the bike lane that I think we share with the buses here. You know, they cut into that a lot. You know, they're flying in that to try to dip and dodge. So,
but dip and dodge tactics only get you so far. Across the city in 2014, 555 cyclists were injured in reported crashes. And of the three cycling deaths in Boston last year, city records show one was in Dorchester and another in Mattapan, a teenage boy and an 8-year-old girl. Noah Hicks says there's an infrastructure gap between lower and higher income neighborhoods.
Unfortunately, all cyclists are not treated equally. And when you look at the disparities between how cycling is approached in a neighborhood like Dorchester versus how it's approached in a neighborhood that is geographically similar, like Jamaica Plain, we're worlds apart.
Hicks points to the Southwest Corridor, nearly 5 miles of paved bike paths from Forest Hills and JP to Back Bay Station. That's a luxury bikers in Dorchester and other parts of Boston don't enjoy.
There's no one contiguous, safe, off-road path that's going to take you from Dorchester to downtown to your doctor's appointment or your job or any of the other things that you need to stay healthy, stay alive, and stay paid.
Another way to look at the distribution of infrastructure is hubway stations. There are more than 90 bike-sharing stations concentrated in the north of the city, while most of Dorchester, Hyde Park, Roslindale, and Mattapan is a hubway desert. Ann Lusk of Harvard School of Public Health studies biking trends in low-income communities. She says Boston as a whole is lacking in bike infrastructure, but it's particularly bad in poorer parts of the city.
If we're going to put the bicycle facilities that are safer in the communities where many of the people are already healthy, we should first put the bicycle facilities in the communities where there are fewer opportunities to be healthy as a routine part of the day.
Lusk says inequality arises because poor people have less time to attend planning meetings. And she says the placement of facilities is based on the number of riders in a given area. More density, more bike infrastructure. But Lusk says that's a flawed model.
There are definitely neighborhoods that are not as well served, but the areas that are underserved are distributed throughout the city.
Vineet Gupta is Director of Policy and Planning at Boston's Transportation Department.
I find it concerning that there is a perception that some neighborhoods have got less attention than others. In fact, particularly over the last 2 years, the city has been investing in bicycle facilities in equal measure in all our neighborhoods.
Advocates are calling on the city to install cycle tracks on main thoroughfares. By definition, cycle tracks are on the road, but they're cordoned off so bikers don't have to share the asphalt with cars. In 2013, Mayor Tom Menino laid out a bikes plan, envisioning the construction of 21 miles of cycle track by 2018. City officials say Menino's plan is still in place, but halfway through the five-year plan, and none of the streets cited in it have cycle tracks. Vineet Gupta says plans are subject to change, and he points to a number of proposals to build cycle tracks in Boston, including in the south of the city on Malcolm X Boulevard and Dudley Street. The city is taking steps to improve biking. The current budget contains $6.6 million for implementing the city bike plan, and there's a pilot program underway to slow down traffic in parts of Dorchester and Jamaica Plain.
I think it's the post there inside here that's messed up.
Back in Codman Square, Noah Hicks is frustrated with the rate of change. He wants the city to do more in Dorchester, but instead of just complaining about it, he opened a bike school.
I have people say this all the time. Getting on a bike makes you feel like you're flying. It gives you a choice.
And that, Hicks says, can mean everything from getting a job to keeping one. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.